Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Butler thinking three, shot clock at 6. He'll put this over Payne. 38 points for Jimmy Butler.
The great Kevin Harlan with the call. Nick Harris is happy. His boy Jimmy Butler showing up as playoff Jimmy last night as the Golden State Warriors beat the Grizzlies. The Orlando Magic take care of the Hawks in Florida. This is the 8 o'clock hour starting on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Boy, I think Ja's going to be throwing a whole lot of grenades to his critics because he's going to have a lot more of them after Memphis can't even get the ball inbounded. That's tough.
I just hurt.
When you're standing out of it, I don't know if it was, trying to remember who I heard do it. I think it was the announcers at the end where they were saying that this is like Houston, like with Florida at the end of the game. Like how are you not able to get into your set? How is this happening?
We have some exclusive audio of the secret Nico meeting. Nui Scruggs just joined us from NBC5. He was invited. So now Nui, D Magazine, and I think Tim McMahon are going to be three people who all agree yesterday did more harm than good, that they were making eye contact with each other. Like, what are they doing? Like, so it just continues to get more and more bizarre. Again, all I can think about is the 30 for 30. All I can think about is all the different chapters that Bill Simmons or someone else is going to come up with to explain this absolute disaster. But we do have a game tonight of our own. Mm. The Dallas Mavericks take on the Sacramento Kings in California at 9 p.m. And I put out the poll question. Do you actually want the Mavs to win tonight? 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. And yesterday was even more stupid and nonsensical that you did it before your season ended. I had to remember. I'm like, season ending press conference. All right, some of the media are invited. No, the play-in's tonight.
Yeah, it is.
And they did this yesterday.
Now, they may have done this, so some of the media was already in Sacramento.
I know a lot of them traveled yesterday, though, too. Although that could have been very intentional, the time that they did it. But, I mean, it's just a bad look. And I think it's actually a great example of how far things have fallen when you mentioned they're playing the Kings tonight. And obviously things change over time, but think back 22 years ago, which, Chop, you were here at that point. Sean, you followed the NBA around that time, so I'm sure you remember that. Like, Kings-Mavericks was the, like, fun game to watch back, like, 2002, 2003. They were the two that didn't give a damn about defense. They were going to score 140. And that was always the most exciting game. And I hated those Sacramento teams. I hated everybody from the top on down to the bottom, from Mike Bibby all the way down to Keon Clark or whoever else. And now 20 years later, I'm sitting here going, I hope Sacramento beats them tonight. Like, that's what they've done to this organization.
So Nico, part of his quotes yesterday said, my obligation is to the Mavericks. It's what's in the best interest of the Mavs. And that's the most important thing. A lot of people took that as, I don't care about the fans. I don't care. Screw what the fans think. Meanwhile, Rick Welts is like, hey, most passionate fan base I've ever seen. And that's a good thing. But Nico's like, I got a job to do and I don't care. I don't need to care about fan base sentiment. That's the way it's being recapped. He continued, some of the decisions are going to be unpopular, maybe to Dirk and maybe to the fans, but my obligation is to the Mavs. Well, Mark Cuban responded, and this kind of leads into the poll question for tonight on whether you actually want them to win. Dirk is the Dallas Mavericks, Cuban wrote. Then, now, and forever. No one should ever forget that. That statue will be here forever. Loyalty never fades away. Tomorrow night, 15 guys will put on a Mavs uniform. They will do everything they can to win for themselves, each other, and the fans. Our squad has busted their ass to fight through incredible adversity. They have my respect and support, should have everyone's who is a Mavs fan. I always love and cheer for everyone who puts on our uniform. Tonight, and however many games we have left this season and in every future season, whether I'm in the stands in front of the TV or following every play online, my heart and soul is committed to rooting for the Mavs to win. That will never change. I know fans are upset, but don't be upset at the players. Support them, root for them, rally behind them. MFFL stands for Mavs Fans for Life.
Yeah, look, here's the issue with tonight, like, because you don't want to ever, like, the players have nothing to do with this. The players.
That's why I'm rooting for them tonight.
Yeah. But here's the problem. This is where the line gets blurred.
And this is where a lot of diehard Mavs fans, diehard, will call up and say, okay, it sucks. I wouldn't have traded Luka. I want more back. But I am a Maverick fan first over a Luka fan.
Well,
I root for the colors. I root for the jersey and the name on the front.
When does that stop, though? When does that stop when management keeps attacking the fan base, basically?
It's up to each person to decide.
Until if they're representing the fan base, to me, it's like you can't support them if they're going to continuously spit on you and attack you and talk down to you. To me, it's like, well, I represent this. It's like, well, no, at that point, to me, that's just self-loathing if you're representing
it. Because everyone can fan the way they want to fan. Yeah. There are people that call me. Now people are understanding it. When people didn't believe me when I moved here after a while and said, I'm not a Washington football fan anymore. Dan Snyder sucked it out of me. It's possible.
You can
get beaten down and beaten and drained, and people are like, nah, you always got to support your team. You're a bandwagoner. Bassick. I hear Bassick's mouth nonstop all the time. Why'd you root for this? Why'd you root for that? Because I continue to want to watch the sport. I just didn't quit watching all the sports like Mike did, except for the one that pays him. So now you're feeling it. You can be affected to the point of quitting your diehard team, but it's up to you to fan the way you want to.
It is.
You had some Luka detractors, very small portion. But you had some.
The lines have also been blurred in rooting for the jersey or the player, too, in sports. You know, people are so much more player-driven fans now than they ever were. It doesn't mean that they're not fans of the team, but they're so player-driven now, especially. But the problem is that you don't want to. The players did nothing wrong here. And you want to see them compete, but it's the same situation like when it comes to do you want to watch them win this last football game versus get the overall number one pick? You know, you don't want to root against the players.
Yeah.
But you also know what's in the best interest of the team.
Yeah.
I do not want this front office to get rewarded with, hey, see?
Yep.
See? Yep. We're on the right track.
Nico did it for two quarters yesterday. He said, I built a championship team. Right. You saw the arrogance of that statement. What if they win a play-in game or two?
So
what will he be thinking?
This, I'm looking at it like, I don't want to root against the players. Again, they did nothing wrong. They're all trying. They're generally good guys. They're good players.
I mean, to make the play-in in their situation, hell of an accomplishment.
This was a thankless season. I bet you if you were to, nobody would wish this NBA season on those players in that locker room. But, you know, it's like, all right, I can't reward the front office. They almost had to be collateral damage here.
Yeah. I mean, look, to me, if you're going to support the players, if you really want to support the players, then you will support the failure that then will ultimately push out Nico.
And that
because,
that, the
because they're not going, the players aren't going to achieve the correct ends. Like you said, two quarters. It's stunning to me that this dude who aligns himself so much with Kobe Bryant is trying to talk about 2.5 quarters I built a championship team. It, like,
Kobe, the guy who wouldn't celebrate being up 2-0 in a series. Job's not done.
You think, like, job's, I mean, like if Kobe were here today, you think he'd be like, Nico, you're doing everything exactly right. Like that's the dude who you have modeled everything off of just because you stood in his, like, aura for a little bit, and then you go, that makes me qualified to be a GM. He is such a, these tactics that he uses with the front office, the way he attacks the fan base, the way he attacks the city, he's not just, like, it's not just he's a bad GM to me, he's like a weak-ass man. Like, that's what he is.
I'm trying to figure out if he's lacking intelligence or he's just guilty of stubbornness. That's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, I wanted to try to get that from Nui. Is he so just blind and stubborn? Or, like, Jerry Jones, I think a lot of it is stubbornness. This appears to be a lot of stubbornness. Now, he would say, look, this is too this is too fast and quick to change my convictions. All right,
like, yeah, I get it.
I got to see it play out. There is an argument to be made that in the next two seasons, the Dallas Mavericks go farther than the LA Lakers. Like, to me, you could have a 50-50 debate about it. If you wanted to argue the Mavericks more, you could. So he's gonna try to stand on that. But right now, it's 74-26.
Yeah, from the 940.
Let me read the poll question. Do you actually want the Mavericks to win tonight? The options were Mavs win, MFFL, or no, lose, get blown out. I want them to suffer. And out of 550 votes, 73% want the Mavericks to lose this evening.
Ooh. From the 940, yesterday when Nico spoke, it stopped for me. I've been a Mavs fan since birth. I'm 28. Let's go, Houston. Let's go, Reed Shepard. And that's tough, man.
I mean, people root for the Lakers. Yeah, root for the Lakers is worse than Houston.
I will be.
Do you think
it's... I want to see Luka play. I want to see him go. The further he goes, the more we are all proven right.
Yep.
You remember Nui told us that he had asked Rick Welts, he's like, what are you selling? Like, you got rid of Luka, so what are you selling? Would you consider...
And he answered back a 40-year-old Kyrie in the new stadium. Yeah.
Oh, like, he answered more than that. But tell me if you think this registers as a gaffe. Rick Welts then went on a lengthy answer that referenced Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and then finally Max Christie. He didn't say a word about Anthony Davis.
Oh.
Why are you... Out of all the trade return you got, you went, Max Christie, he's excited. And you don't say anything about Anthony Davis in what is like a lengthy minute and a half long answer.
Wow. Well, people are not allowed to play the audio that some recorded yesterday. Tim McMahon will join us at 9:20 this morning from California.
How long before somebody actually does leak that?
Oh.
Well, that's a great question.
It will get leaked. Mm. We know that. Everything gets leaked now. Someone will leak it, and there were 20, however many people in there. They'll never be able to pinpoint who that was. Someone's going to leak that audio.
Well, we have the full transcript from WFAA, but... Things can sound, it's probably going to sound a lot worse.
It sounds, yes.
Because from people there, they're all saying this in no way was a positive. This worked against them even more. It was like, you're losing even more by doing this. And they lost as soon as Mark Stein sent out the tweet that it was going to be silenced and there were rules and restrictions. As soon as you did that, it was a loss. But a portion already has been leaked of Nico Harrison addressing select DFW Media.
I want to thank everyone for coming today. Basically, what I wanted to tell you guys is how sick and tired I am of hearing about that Slavic cow. I'm tired of the Luka magic. Every time he came in, we just had to add an extra inch to his uniform. I was going to have to add another 7 to his goddamn jersey. It was about damn time we got rid of that Lizzo-looking lard ass. I'm tired of standing in that tunnel at the arena. I'm not in that tunnel because I'm scared. I'm in there because I can't stand to see 20,000 people actually being upset over losing some before a photo of a lap band procedure. And Jason looks at me and goes, nobody's dying. Well, Luca might be if he keeps eating all those triple cheeseburgers. Old fat, beer-swallowing, hookah-sucking-ass bitch. I'm just tired of it. I swear to God, if I wasn't in that tunnel, I'd be throwing up all over the goddamn court like Tracy motherfucking Morgan. I shouldn't have to explain to any of you why I traded Ursula from the Little Mermaid. And yeah,
Ursula.
We kept that trade a secret. You know why? Come close. You know why?
Come close.
Because we have to put him in a f***ing shipping container and hitch a ride with the U.S. Navy to get him to L.A. Because he's too goddamn big for the airplane. And when he got there, they put tariffs on his big ass because they didn't know if they could get him through f***ing customs. I'm tired of Luka f***ing Doncic and his big, fat, blubbery show.
It's aggressive.
Man, they put tariffs on him.
I understand why they didn't want the audio out.
Yeah, put a tariff on his big ass, apparently. Well, there it is, some of the secret audio of the Nico meeting that went down. Tim McMahon will confirm whether that was all accurate or not at 9:20 this morning, but he is back from the Masters. He's making pimento cheese sandwiches, and he's cooking for the Cowboys to open up Brian Schottenheimer's first practices. It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman. After this, on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
It is a Meat Church Wednesday. It's a hump day.
Hump day.
Matt Pittman here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. He's cooking crawfish for the Cowboys to open up camp. He's going to the NFL draft. But I think we have to recap, since he is wearing the Masters green shirt, his trip to Augusta here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, boss. How was it, and how the heck did you get in there?
Man, it's like the mob to get in that place. Yeah. It's insane. First off, I'm excited. Now I'm coming through my cameras and mic. Like, we're even stepped up from last time we talked. How
look
you feel
at
about
that
this?
Studio.
I know.
Look at that. For Bobby awesome. To be impressed from a technical standpoint says a lot. But that studio is looking pretty daggone sick. What, how many people do you employ? What number of staff do you have?
That's not relevant. I got a couple studs that work on the production side of things that make us look good. So yeah, we're very excited to be in here.
So how did you get into Augusta?
So friend of mine, Doug Klein, he works for a company named Lawost. Doug was Troy Aikman's middle linebacker at UCLA, so I met him through Troy years ago, and he invited me out last year to cook for some of his clients, and the same thing this year. So he was gracious enough to bring me back, and his company, a bunch of great guys, and they have a couple chefs for the week, so I do barbecue for a night, and they take me out on the course for a couple days, so it's just super cool. I mean, it's way better than the Super Bowl, not that I would know. But, it's amazing.
So it lives up to the hype in terms of going out there and the security? You had to put away your phone and all that? It feels really strict once you're out there and getting in?
It's super strict. I mean, I tell you, it's like the mob. Like, I think a lot of people know. Everybody, you know, I'm enamored with how'd you get your tickets, because they're, you know, you're not supposed to sell your tickets. And I watch some people's badges make a weird beep when they tried to badge in, and I watch security shuffle them away, you know, to a little hut to try to see what they were up to. And I heard from some people that kind of got interrogated for quite a while. Where'd you get your badge? What'd you pay for it? That sort of thing. Because apparently Augusta's really trying to snuff out these entertainment companies and reselling of tickets. But, you know, you've got to check your phone at the door. And then there's only one way to get a picture. You can go in front of the clubhouse where they take a picture for you. I was lucky enough to go on Wednesday on par 3 day again, where you're allowed to take a digital camera in. So that's pretty neat, but it definitely lives up to the hype. And, you know, I'm not a guy that's like the biggest golf fan. Like, I enjoy going to the Nelson and the Colonial, but I'm not on my couch every weekend watching golf. And I can tell you that I would pay the money it takes to get in there because it is so beautiful. People are so cool. They're just like, they're the happiest they've ever been. And, you know, getting the like cheap $1.50 pimento cheese or egg salad sandwiches and cold beers, which I did learn the light beer at Augusta is Miller Lite. So I was super happy. But we hit beautiful weather for the days that I was there. And I saw so many Meat Church people, by the way. I used to think the volleyball dad was my demographic. Whoever got the Masters is apparently my demographic. So that was like super neat. And got to see a lot. You see a lot of celebrities, you know, like you, if you people watch, I saw Larry Fitzgerald like 3 times, and Rant saw Frank Thomas. So random people walking around, which that's kind of neat as well. So yeah, it definitely lives up to the hype.
So what stood out to me the most was like how hilly it was. I didn't realize how hilly it was going to be until I got there. What stood out? What was the one thing that like stunned you walking in there?
Yeah, you know, I think I had heard this. Well, two things. Number one, what you just said, people talk about the hilliness of it. If you walk up the hill, as you know, from Amen Corner, I'm like dead by the time I got to the up to like the top of 18. But the greens, you know, even for someone who's not a big golfer, you see these greens, but when you get there in person, they have to put the ball within just like the perfect spot. You know, there might be a massive green, but a lot of times these guys would hit the ball in the, you know, some far end of the green where the ball would just take off. So it's brutal. The second thing is the merch. I know a lot is made of that, but I think I'm a great example of that. People asked me last year, what do you think your over-under on merch is? I was like, I don't know, $300. I'm going to buy my son a shirt, my brother a shirt. And they're like, no, you're going to spend at least $1,000. And you do, because you wait forever to get in. And then like this year, I wanted to get a certain hat for my wife, this Azalea hat that was gone quick last year. And so I'm like, well, hey, I need to get 4 of those. And I don't need 4 of those, but you come home with it and you do so much good. Like, people are stoked.
But is it
for
because
Masters
you can't get this merchandise anywhere? It's exclusive to that shop?
Yeah, I mean, you can only get it that week. And even the people that volunteer for the tournament, they're in line with you doing the exact same thing. And there's a lot of things. Like, they've got some unique things. It's known that people want to go get the gnome. And who needs a garden gnome? But he's like in a different outfit every year. I never saw it. And I went early. But then friends of mine went days after me and got one. There was apparently a teddy bear this year. It was just this little teddy bear that didn't look like much, but they were 1 to 500. And we ran into a girl that got one. She didn't know what she had. And I pulled up eBay and showed her they were going for like $900 on Thursday. So, yeah, there's some kind of silly stuff in there for sure. But, yeah, it was pretty nuts.
It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman here, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Now, let's get to what I really want to talk about. I love pimento cheese. People put it on fried chicken sandwiches, stuff with jalapenos, and the pimento cheese sandwich. Choppy, did you have it when you went to Augusta?
I did. I don't even like pimento cheese, but I tried everything. Okay. I think I tried just about everything they had. It's good. Like, if you like pimento, I would see how you would really like it. For $1.50, you can't beat it.
All right, Matt, you came out with a recipe that you said tops all. I'm a little skeptical about the secret ingredient. I haven't tried it, but I am going to try it. Pimento cheese sandwich. Break it down.
Yeah, when I left the Masters last year, I have a note in my phone when I come up with video ideas, and I thought I should put out a pimento cheese recipe at the Masters. So,
Do a lot of people eat pimento cheese? Like, is that a big thing here or regionally? What's the deal?
I mean, you guys know, being from Tennessee, I grew up on it, so I don't see it as much here. But definitely, like in the Southeast, in the Carolinas, it's huge. It goes on pulled pork. People put it on burgers. I definitely don't see it nearly as much. I mean, Chick-fil-A did come out with that hot chicken sandwich, I guess, last year, year before, that had that and honey on it, which I thought was weird, but it actually is really good. So I don't know. I definitely don't think it's as popular, but yeah, there's just something about going in there. It's $1.50. Like I told my wife, I said, I'd walk in to get a beer in the afternoon and I wasn't even hungry and I would just automatically grab something because it's so cheap. But you're asking about the recipe. I've had a recipe on the site for 10 years and we decided that we'd make that. A recipe from a buddy in North Carolina, and then one I saw in Southern Living that was President Carter's wife's recipe, and it has cream cheese in it and a little bit of grated onion. Now, we blind tasted them all throughout my company, and the Rosalind Carter version actually got every first place vote, so that's what we made, and I love it. So I actually removed my existing recipe off my site, gave Southern Living and Rosalind Carter credit, and went with a new one, and I love it. And the
See,
cool
guys, he balances politics, you haters. He balances.
Yeah. All the comments I've heard since it came out last week, I've not heard one person say they didn't like it. So to me, people aren't going to like stuff. So when it's that popular, it's a win. So yeah, it's really good.
So what is different about the recipe?
So the fact that it has cream cheese in it, which I had never put cream cheese in my pimento cheese previously. You have to soften it and you have to thoroughly mix it in. Otherwise, you kind of get big bits of it. And then she grated a little bit of white or sweet onion, not a lot. I was skeptical, and the cream cheese is what does it. And a lot of people said, you should smoke the cream cheese. I don't disagree with that. If you wanted a little smoked version, that would definitely be really good. But the cream cheese was just a humongous difference. So, big fan.
Okay, if pimento cheese is not your thing, Choppy,
yo,
today the video is coming out of smoked brisket deviled eggs. Are you a deviled egg? Oh, you're anti-mayo stuff.
I don't love mayo.
Okay.
So deviled eggs are not really
I love deviled eggs. Jam. Deviled eggs are
awesome.
This
is unbelievable. Right? How did a guy go to Tennessee and not like pimento cheese or deviled eggs?
Well, that's fair. That's a fair question.
He should have left like Nico.
Should have left like Nico, right?
All the Nicos.
Do you have any regrets?
I have no regrets. I have no regrets.
Thank you.
Matt, you went into the dictionary yesterday to react to the Nico meeting.
Hey, great interview with Nui earlier, by the way. Love that guy. Yes. Love that guy. Yeah.
What word did you go look up? You posted on my Instagram in reaction to the Nico stuff. You went and looked up a word with the definition. You already don't remember. How much bourbon did you have last night?
Oh, yeah. Tone deaf. That's what
I did. Tone deaf. I'd look that one up.
Yes,
yeah, you like deaf. That. I posted the AI definition.
Yes.
It was just his picture. Yeah. That's what it was. We're talking with Matt Pippen here on 105.3 The Fan.
Let's get the deviled egg recipe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's really good. I've made deviled eggs, most of my life, and I came into that same video shoot with pimento cheese thinking we were going to do deviled eggs three ways for Easter because we did deep-fried deviled eggs last year, and it went off. People loved it. And so it's funny, my team got together, and we're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And then I drove home, and I called them back, and I said, scratch that. We're going to smoke the eggs, and we're going to put brisket in them, and I've never done it, but it can't be wrong.
Yes.
So it's a traditional deviled egg where the mix has mayo, a little Dijon mustard, a little bit of hot sauce. But then we smoke the eggs. We actually hard-boiled them for 12 minutes, which is standard hard-boiled egg. Took them out of the shell and put that egg in a Traeger for 1 hour, 200 degrees, super smoke. Or you could just use any smoker at 225. You can also just smoke the eggs and not hard-boil. But when you do that, the egg kind of separates from the shell and it has a funny shape. So I preferred to hard boil them first and then smoke them. Made a standard deviled egg from there, but added brisket to it. Topped it with a little bit of our barbecue seasoning. Also put a little of that in the mix, the gospel. And then we put some pickled red onions on it. I thought that would look pretty. It's a real, big Texas barbecue accompaniment. And they were lights out. But we got to talk about the special guest that's in the video for all the sports fans, all the hockey fans out there today. So I know I talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago, but I had reunited with Bill Guerin, who I had not seen since 2006, so 18 years in the NHL, multiple Olympic teams, the GM of the Four Nations, GM of the upcoming Olympic team, current GM of the Minnesota Wild, called me the Sunday before this video shoot. We reunited, and he came down to my house on shoot day, the day that the Stars were playing the Wild, and it was the coolest thing ever. Walked in my backyard with the owner of the Wild, which kind of blew me away, a guy worth a cool $4 billion, just walks in the backyard and says, "What's up?" But they watched the video shoot, and then I asked Billy, he's like, "Do you want to hop in this?" And he's like, "Yeah, I love deviled eggs." So if you watch today's video that comes out at 10 a.m., Bill Guerin is in at the end to taste test and talk about it. And honestly, I've been telling everybody, it was a top three Meat Church moment in my life. Full circle, the dude discovered Meat Church on his own after I worked for the Stars, and it was just super cool. So I'll definitely put some photos and stuff out on Instagram of him, but it was a blast.
Matt, you went undercover this week cooking for the Dallas Cowboys in order to get us more intel on Micah Parsons' contract while he was doing voluntary workouts. How did that go? What did you learn? And I guess how did the food go, I guess, too?
Okay, Bobby, there are so many people from the Cowboys that listen to this interview. I was not undercover. I know nothing about them. Unlike the Dak contract,
why are you winking?
Know nothing.
He called after that Dak incident. And he's like, I didn't mean to. I don't know. And he ended up being right. But
it was very
right.
We
won't get you in any more hot water.
Yeah. Micah did not eat the crawfish. I know he was there that day, so I did not see Micah. I have zero intel as it relates to number 11 and his potential extension, but I'm waiting anxiously for you guys to break the
please,
news.
Please sell me, though, on crawfish, because I want to like it, because everybody else talks about how communal it is and like how good a time it is, and I just can't get over the fact of like I feel like I'm eating bug meat, basically.
Oh, God, Bobby.
They're called mud bugs.
I need my man Brian Broaddus to be in a little bit earlier to sit next to you with this one. Man, okay, full disclosure, crawfish is what got me into outdoor cooking. Right after high school, for me, crawfish boils weren't nearly as big in North Texas, in my opinion, as they are now. Now they've been kind of trendy for a while. But a buddy invited me over in Keller, Texas. His name's David Copeland, longtime friend. He said, "Hey, man, come over. We're having a crawfish boil this weekend." I was like, "What's that?" And so I walked in his backyard, and there were tables connected together and like 10, 12 people standing around eating it. And I was like, I didn't know what the food was at first. And I was like, this is cool, because everyone is communal, breaking bread together. And then, you know, they taught me to, they had four like Cajun guys that were cooking it. And so, you know, how I am, I started asking questions. And then I hired those guys next year to do a boil for me. And I said, but the catch is you got to teach me. I brought them back a second year to oversee me doing it. I ran a crawfish boil for about 15 years. Mm. It was a ton of fun. And I tell people I was cooking crawfish before barbecue. That's a true story. So I think we've talked about this before. Very polarizing topic. It's much like Philly cheesesteaks. And, you know, if you're not from there, people don't think you know what you're doing. There's so many different ways to do it. You know, I often get a lot of comments, but, you know, on my social media posts about how I did it or whatever. Funny, somebody that covers the Cowboys put a picture of this boil out on Monday night. I don't know him, didn't see it. And I would, like, half the comments I was getting ripped up from people saying there's no seasoning. I'm like, well, yeah, there's no seasoning on the table. It's in the boil, you moron.
but here's what I want to know. How did the idea come about to cook? Because crawfish polarizing, not everyone's going to eat it. How did the idea come about to take that out there day one of practice? I want to know who tore it up, who stayed away. Were guys looking at it like, are these bugs? I want to know the Cowboy player reaction.
See, this is why you just celebrated 14 years. You asked the right question. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And this was not scripted. So, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the fact that I boiled over at Dak's house, which we've done each of the past couple years. And it was just like a family thing. And he's like, "Man, I want to do this for some of the, when the guys get back around." And that's where it started. But then Scott, who's the director of, I think title is player performance. So I'll say nutrition and other things. Scott said he talked to Shoddy and came back and said, "Hey, he wants to do a boil on day one." And I actually was supposed to be coming back from the Masters that night, and I wanted to do this so bad. I wanted the challenge of 500 pounds for a football team, plus I wanted to be the one to do this for the Cowboys, that I cut my Masters trip short to make this happen. But, you know, it was Shoddy's idea, and it was a team-building day. So I understand that they, you know, they didn't practice. They were getting to know each other, new players. I saw one-on-one, like, coaches and players walking around the field, you know, just getting to know one another, and then they all came out the door. Dak was That guy was first one out, and he's like hooting and hollering, does Matt need any help? He was literally the last one to leave. I watched him teaching people. At one point, we watched him underneath a table, like trying to get over to a trash can. Like he has the it factor, by the way. Like that, he's a dude. Like he, everybody loves him. He's teaching everyone. I mean, a true leader. But he was all in. Oh, you'll love this. As soon as the doors open, Charles Haley walks out, and this dude. I'm not kidding. I'm in awe. This dude is sitting there doing swim moves with players, like at the crawfish table. And I'm looking at my brother. I'm like, that's Charles Haley. And he's like teaching these young guys while eating crawfish. you know, we didn't take any pictures or anything because, you know, it's right in front of the office building. I'm sure everyone was watching. So we were trying to be professional. But I was geeking out watching Charles Haley swim a kid while, you know, eating crawfish. But Jalen Tolbert is a huge crawfish eater. Jalen Brooks ate a ton. I finally got to meet Solomon Thomas. He ate a lot. Osa came out at the end and ate a lot. So that's another guy that appears to be like a huge leader to me on the defensive side of the ball and, you know, was really digging into things. So I thought it was neat. The weather was amazing. You know, it was cool. Like, guys just first got there, first day back. And yeah, it was a big honor for me. I keep saying that. Like, first day back with these guys go do that was super fun, to be honest with you. Like a dream come true.
Back from the Masters with pimento cheese sandwiches, cooking crawfish for the Cowboys day one, and the brisket deviled eggs coming out with Meat Church today from the official pitmaster of America's team. Thank you, brother.
See you, boys.
Everything fantastic from Matt Pittman in the state-of-the-art Meat Church studios. The most accurate mock drafter has come out with his Cowboys picks. Bobby has him below the belt next.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh my God, the Cowboys took who? What? That's much better than Sean's vanilla tease he just threw at us before we went to break. Maybe you could learn a thing or two from a real master of a tease like myself, Mike Fisher, guys like that.
So every day, and I don't feel bad about saying this, I give Bobby all the extra credit props. New segment ideas, Bobby. Bits, recording, Nico audio, Bobby. But in the past couple days, it has below the belt tease. It's all the latest hot buzz around the league. You know, all the, and then he follows it up. It's like, this is a bunch of crappy stuff.
No.
Like, these guys have nothing. I've read it word for word.
You
if you want to get into an argument and you'll end up losing. You downplay what they're saying, but I'm like, I'm a bust his balls over how generic and weak this team is.
Which is fair. You know why, honestly?
You would appreciate that criticism as a radio guy.
Yes, I would. You know why, honestly, I do it in there? Is because I'll usually throw something in there as like, if some of the other stuff in my email that you like more on football, we're go. I know you're going to want me to do that there.
Yeah.
So I'll change the tease. So it's more just like, all right, I'm putting here, because usually we end up coming in here and you're like, hey, we're going to do this, so send me a tease, and then I just send a different tease. So it's more just like a placeholder in case we don't have something else.
But 98% of the time you send a good one.
Yeah.
This is the one that's been all the latest.
I mean, look, y'all, you two are taking off enough time. I figure I might as well take off a segment or two.
Well,
you know?
Have a kid like you want.
Yeah. That'd be
or
nice.
Get married again.
Gonna start half to.
Veronis called me yesterday and he's like, why are you so hard to get a hold of? And I was waiting for him to give me the paternity criticism, but I struck first and I'm like, this. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm not gonna, I wouldn't knock it. I don't knock it. When every other time someone is off for jury duty, he guilts them. So I struck first. So Brian didn't guilt me.
What you should have done is you should have leaned into the stuff we're trying to stir up, and you should have said to him, like, well, look, I was just being loyal to Eric. Eric's a little still upset about the draft, so stuff, and I was trying to.
Broadus is
that.
Not going to call and attack me because he wants all the information that I have after our meetings, and he's like, what's going on? What's the good word? So he does his weekly check-in to get station updates.
That and to get Cowboys coaching news. That's why he calls. All right, the latest mock draft is out from Dane Brugler, and this is his full 7-round mock that he puts out every year, and Dane is really good at nailing these things because Dane looks at things like an NFL scout does. Dane talks to so many different people around the league. So,
and he's going to be on today?
Oh, are we replaying our interview from last week?
No.
We're on.
Hang on a sec. Dane Brugler, 4 o'clock today on G-Bag.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, well then, yeah, you can hear what he said last week later today.
Bobby.
I'm just playing.
There's no new information from last Thursday.
I support your strike back song, but they got us in the ratings right now.
Okay, he played us... Well, he played
apples
us.
Apples to oranges.
What'd you say?
Apples to oranges.
Oh, NFC South.
Well, yeah. If you're not in the same day part, it doesn't really matter.
Playing in the South.
He played the clip from Walchuk yesterday. And Zach going like, we're going to have draft 101. I guess, I mean, if Bobby's going to talk, he may not, like he didn't on draft or on day 3 of the draft. So if he's going to take a sideswipe, that's mine real quick. And now we're done. Let's talk about Dane Brugler's mock draft. And this is different from ones we've seen elsewhere. In fact, there's one big pick here in the course of this mock draft that is completely different from everybody else that's projecting it right now. Top 4 pretty much are all the same as we've seen lately. So number 1, the Titans take Cam Ward. Number 2, the Browns take Travis Hunter from Colorado. Number 3, Abdul Carter from Penn State, the edge rusher, goes to the Giants. Number 4, Will Campbell, tackle, LSU, goes to the Patriots. And number 5, we've almost universally seen Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan, goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. No. No, they don't. Jacksonville Jaguars select Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State. He said if the Jaguars had a chance at a high-level corner here, that is the direction they should go, but this draft is light at the top, and Jeanty is the best player available. He would give the Jacksonville offense an immediate upgrade.
Look, I was ahead of the curve in terms of criticizing Trevor Lawrence. I called him out as overrated, not that good. But I will say it feels like he has not been given the greatest weapons.
Sure.
His best receiver has been Ridley. Off of the controversy.
Ridley, they paid Kirk.
They overpaid for Kirk. Yeah. He's already gone.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like Evan Ingram banged up. doesn't feel like he's been given the greatest tools.
Yeah, not super studs. He's had some solid guys, like a collection of solid players. But like, it feels like he's just got a bunch of number twos all the time.
Yep.
Without ever having like a legit number one. So
get him some running back help.
Get him a weapon, that's fine. You go through, it's a lot of the same that we've seen elsewhere. Other than obviously the Raiders aren't there to pick Jeanty now, so they just flip and say Mason Graham, defensive tackle. Armon Membu, the tackle from Missouri to the Jets. Panthers take Jalen Walker, edge linebacker from Georgia. And then number nine, New Orleans Saints. What's the sexy pick?
Shador. Peter Schrager right now saying the draft will have its highest rating in years when Saints go on the clock.
Well,
with that pick. And yesterday, he said he must be cool with Dion. Schrager's a big connections guy. He said that Shador was the most intriguing quarterback prospect since Manziel.
Intriguing. Interesting.
From a flash or persona standpoint. I don't think from the type of player he is.
Because they've had, Caleb, Trevor Lawrence, they've all been in that time since Manziel. Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Lance was a more intriguing prospect because people were like, what is he? Like, we haven't seen anything. Number nine, well, if Peter Schrager's right about that, then the ratings will just continue to shoot up after that, because at number nine, Dane Brugler does not have the Saints taking Shador Sanders. In fact, he has Shador Sanders going into a free fall after that. Number nine.
That'd be great entertainment to watch Dion on draft night.
This one would sting a little bit. The New Orleans Saints select Tetaro McMillan, wide receiver from Arizona. He says, is this a quarterback landing spot? If so, which one? New Orleans hasn't drafted a first-round quarterback in 53 years.
Say that again?
New Orleans has not drafted a first-round quarterback in 53 years. Anything is possible with the recent Derek Carr injury news. However, I'm not sold that the Saints love their options here. So in this scenario, they opt to upgrade the receiver depth chart. And I think Dane does know a little bit of something about how the Saints generally think.
I think if they do take quarterback, I think we are the number one longest first round quarterback drought.
Wow.
With OB 1989.
Number 10, the Chicago Bears select Tyler Warren, tight end Penn State. That's another one that's become kind of a common pick. 11, the 49ers select Shamar Stewart, edge rusher from Texas A&M. And then at number 12, the Dallas Cowboys do not take Omarion Hampton. Oh. They obviously can't take Tetaroa McMillan. The Dallas Cowboys select Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, who's become kind of the
popular.
Yeah, he's become, people are kind of just saying, what style of player do you like? Do you want the speedster and kind of the shifty one, or do you want the steady possession receiver? Which one of those guys do you want? And then that'll decide if you pick Golden or McMillan if they're both on the board.
San Fran's still interesting to me, because if Shador is on the board, they haven't signed Brock.
Yeah, all signs.
I don't think they're going to
publicly sound like they are.
But like, if he isn't signed and, Shador does become available, like that does change the situation a little bit.
Is he a Shanahan fit?
Shanahan, I think, can kind of construct around a lot of different people, and I'm sure he could figure it out with him. But no, I think Purdy's still a better fit for what he likes to do. After Golden goes to the Cowboys, and again, this is a 7-round mock draft, so after we get through the first round, we'll kind of run through the rest of it. Shador Sanders goes all the way down to pick number 21. The Pittsburgh Steelers select Shador Sanders. He says if Sanders indeed falls out of the top three, not just top 10, he says if he falls out of the top three, we go on Shador watch, where he could really start a free fall. It's been compared similarly to Aaron Rodgers, where when Aaron Rodgers, it was the thought of like, if you don't go one, nobody knew where he was going to go after that. Like, if Aaron Rodgers got taken number one, Alex Smith probably falls similarly in that draft, where he's going probably 18, 20 picks more before he gets selected. Going back down through the list, Will Johnson, who's been like a top 10 pick for everybody else, Dane's got him going 23 to the Packers. So he's got him sliding a little bit. He did not run the 40-yard dash at his pro day the other day, so no team's going to have a 40-yard time on that corner. Some of the other picks for the draft here, the Washington Commanders take Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. That's a good pick. The Eagles get edge rusher from Boston College, Donovan E. That's what I'm calling him, because I'm not going to try and figure out his last name until I have to on the draft show for the actual draft.
More front seven.
Yep. And then for the Cowboys, they end up after that for their next several rounds. The Cowboys end up getting Matthew Golden in the first round, Quinshon Judkins, Kay Adams' guest, running back from Ohio State. Shamar Turner, the defensive tackle from Texas A&M, shore up the defensive line a little bit more, get Eberflus some more stuff. Then after that, it's a slew of day three picks after the fourth round. So fifth round, they get cornerback Corey Black from Oklahoma State. Pick 174 in the fifth round, it's edge rusher Fadil Diggs from Syracuse. couple of Ohio State players, linebacker Cody Simon and defensive back Jordan Hancock. And then they close out with safety Kitten Crawford from Nevada, or Nevada, guard Hayden Connor from Texas, and offensive tackle Jack Nelson from Wisconsin. I would expect we're going to see them throw resources at offensive line. Whether it's early, late, whatever else, I think they're going to try and throw some picks at it just like Dane has here, because they want to just make sure they've got as much of that short up as possible, especially with the new run blocking schemes that Clayton Adams is going to bring in.
And how would you feel about that draft overall if it went that way?
Solid. I don't love Judkins, the running back from Ohio State, but it's, I mean, you get Golden, you get Judkins, you get playmakers.
All right. Today started actually at 5:30 with the segment, including Jane Slater and everyone else hyping it up. The Peyton Russell highlights, lowlights, the Peyton Russell Show. In case you missed it, then Tim McMahon from California on the NECO meeting next. But put property tax money back in your pocket in just minutes. More and more Tolos are listening to me when I'm asking, why are you just writing a blind check? I compare paying property taxes to me going to a mechanic. I can't question them. I don't know what's underneath that hood. I don't know how to rewire the engines and the motors and all that stuff. So I just pay it. And I just say, okay, you know what you're talking about. That's what I did with property taxes for years until OwnWell came along. They have local experts. They have cutting-edge technology that question the amount that you're being told to pay every single year. And OwnWell handles everything from start to finish and delivers top results. No upfront costs. It costs you nothing. You only pay if you save, and 86% of OwnWell Tolos do, with an average customer saving of over $1,100. The deadline, though, to protest is May 15th. For most counties, all you have to do is type in your address, hit enter. They give you the estimate that you're going to save, then they go to work. So save money on property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 and start your protest today at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.